Today we begin a teaching series on prayer. We're calling it Amen. And I learned long ago we can't do God's work without God. It is impossible. So we need to be on our knees praying. And to help you with that, we have key tags that are available out in the foyer for everyone. You can see a picture. These will not get you discount gas at Kroger, so don't try. But they are a reminder that every time you pull your keys out and lay them down, every time you see this key tag, just say a special prayer for our church. Prayer, God, please bless our church, protect our church, bless our plans for 2018. Bless the staff. Please, God, just help us to serve you and to minister to others in your name. And just say a little sentence prayer, maybe just in your head, depending on where you're at. But just a reminder, pray for your church. It's unfortunate that we need such reminders. But the truth is, prayer is one of the most talked about biblical disciplines, but one of the least practiced. And we ask questions like, well, how do I pray? Or how long do I pray? How long do I pray for a specific request? And why doesn't God answer my prayers? Years ago, I received an email from a church member who asked, why is it so hard to pray at times when I need it the most? When we need prayer the most, why is it we can't come up with the words? We don't know what to say. And sometimes all we do is worry and grow bitter and cry. For some reason, the words just don't come easily at times in our lives. Where we're going to be addressing prayer the next 5 weeks and answering questions such as this. But today we're going to begin the topic by looking at why some of our prayers go unanswered. And why perhaps we may be the problem for that. So let's begin our message on prayer with prayer. Join me. Father, thank you for speaking to us today through your word. And as we worship you through the study of prayer, of communicating with you, just open up our minds and open up our hearts to your truth, Father. Thank you for letting us know that you hear us and that you love us. In Christ's name, amen. All right, let's just start right at the beginning and just say, God loves our prayers. He loves us, and he loves the words that we offer him, and he loves to answer prayer. Look what he said through Isaiah the prophet. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. Now, everybody has heard or maybe even experienced personally amazing stories of answered prayer. We read and we believe that nothing is impossible with God. But then we get frustrated. We get confused. We get sometimes even angry because God seemingly answers everybody else's prayer, but not ours. For some reason, we can't seem to get his attention. And many people stop praying. And let me say this. If you remember nothing else today, remember this. Please, please don't ever stop praying. And I'll tell you why. Satan is your enemy. Satan hates you. Satan hates everything good about your life. Satan hates your marriage. Satan hates your kids. Satan hates any joy that you have. And he will do anything he can to destroy your joy. He will try to harm you physically and emotionally and spiritually. He hates you that much. And you know what? He doesn't fear you at all. He doesn't fear you being in church today. or through an act of service, you help someone, or you drop money in the offering plate. He doesn't mind when you sing the worship songs that we do here, or even take communion. That's just one day a week. He could care less. But he shakes when you pray. He trembles at the thought that God listens to you. His demons slink away when you use the name of Jesus in your prayers. If prayer is vital in overcoming spiritual attack, then one of Satan's top priorities, if not his highest priority, is to destroy your prayer life, to stop you from praying, or to stop you from praying effectively. Because when he does that, he has an advantage. And you are open to temptation. You are ready to walk away because you're impatient with God. When you start to pray, the devil will use any method to render your prayers ineffective and powerless. He'll create doubts that God is listening to you, doubts that prayer just is not going to work for you. He'll use other people, family members and friends, to innocently interfere with your quiet time. You ever notice when you sit down to read the Bible or sit down to pray to have your quiet time, phone rings or somebody knocks at the door and it's a family member, it's a friend. Oh, I was just thinking about you. I thought I'd stop by. Satan will do anything to frustrate your prayer life. He will oppose your prayers any chance he gets because he fears your prayers. Don't stop ever. Every day, offer prayers. It is not only your main source of communicating with your Father in heaven, it's a powerful source against spiritual attack. Now, also, let me say this. We say silly things sometimes without thinking. I remember my first church that I was the preaching pastor, and I was making an announcement, and we're going to have a church picnic after church. And there was a new dam that had been built on the Ohio River, and it had playground and pavilions and a beautiful park. I mean, it was gorgeous. So we were going to go down there, and I told everybody, okay, right after service, I want you to go home, change clothes, get your food, and we're all going to meet at that damn park. And everybody started laughing, and I didn't know why. And for months after that, the church members would go around bragging. Our pastor cusses in church. How about yours? Yeah. Sometimes you just got to think before you say things. We do. We all say silly things without thinking. Be careful how you use the phrase, prayer works. Because most people who use that phrase really mean, God did what I wanted him to do. He answered my prayer the way I asked him. As if prayer was a button to be pushed to release exactly what they wanted from heaven's vending machine. You know, we wake up, oh, I'm a little stuffy today. I might be catching a cold. Well, I'll just pray for a healing, and God will heal me instantly, and I'll push B13. And then that blessing will fall from heaven because God will do what I tell him to do. Listen, prayer works, but sometimes it works differently than we'd like. Prayer works even if we can't connect any direct result to our prayers. Prayer works even when the opposite of what we prayed happens. Prayer works even when we bang on the door of heaven for years and we're not sure anything is going on up there. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people whose spirits are crushed because they pray hard and they still didn't get the job, or their mom still died, or the bank still foreclosed, or they ended up in a car accident. And many will say because of that, hey, prayer doesn't work because they didn't get exactly what they wanted. But God is not a puppy to be trained to do what we say. He is the Lord and creator of the universe. He is the one who can see the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. And with that perspective that we don't possess, he wisely answers our prayers in the way that is best for us. Often in ways we can't understand, often in ways we can't track. And sometimes God says, yes, the prayer you just asked, it's yours. And sometimes God says, yes, but we're going to wait a little bit because the timing has to be right. That will bless you the most. And sometimes God says, no, I've got something better in mind. And you're going to love it a lot more than just what you asked for. And then sometimes when God hears our prayers, he says, seriously? You're really praying for that? Do you have any idea what you're asking for? And he says, absolutely not. I can think of specific prayers that I have offered, and I was disappointed and I was frustrated. God just didn't come through. But now I look back and I'm so happy he didn't. Because I would have missed so many other blessings that were greater than what I could imagine was going to happen with my request. My wife was once leading a Bible study on prayer out in Wichita, and she was just sharing, and these two ladies came up to me after one of her sessions on a Sunday, and they said, oh, David, your wife, she is so sweet. And she said something like, I am so glad God didn't answer all the prayers that I ask, or I would have never found the love of my life. I would have never married David. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, that's sweet, but I want to know who she was praying to marry in the first place. Don't ever stop praying. You're going to be tempted to quit. You're going to be tempted because you feel like, well, God's put me in time out. He's not listening to me. Or God has pushed the mute button on my prayers. He's not listening to me. And have you ever prayed, Lord, am I not believing enough? Do I not have enough faith? Did I do something to make you mad at me? Just tell me and I'll change. You said you would not withhold, or you would withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Well, where are my good things? Everybody else seems to be getting them. Why not me? When something goes your way, be grateful and thank him immediately. And when something doesn't go your way and you're not getting exactly what you prayed, or it seems to be a long way off, understand God is still in control. He's still on his throne and he still loves you. And he knows what is best for you. And remember, just because God is silent doesn't mean God is absent. He's going to take care of you. So let me get back to answer these questions about unanswered prayer. Because sometimes God doesn't answer our requests because of what's going on in our lives, because of what we are doing, and we need to examine ourselves. So if your prayers are not being answered, examine yourself first. For there could be things in our lives that impede our prayers. For instance, an unsurrendered will leads to selfish prayers. If you haven't surrendered yourself to God through his son Jesus Christ, you're going to pray selfishly. James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. See, when we get selfish, when we're focused on us instead of God, a lot of times we think of God as a genie in a bottle who gives us unlimited wishes. Jesus told his disciples, you can pray for yourself. There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. Pray for your needs. Pray for each day's food. Pray for forgiveness. Pray not to be led into temptation. To pray for yourself is not necessarily selfish. God knows we have needs. Selfish prayers are motivated by what we want instead of and ignoring God's will. We don't care about his will. We don't care about him. We just want what we want. Give me, give me, give me. Give me what I want, God. My dad will tell you, he's an old preacher. And he tells old preacher jokes and old preacher stories. And I've heard every one of them a dozen times. And wherever he goes, he usually tells this one story about an elderly woman who would walk the back roads and sell vegetables. And when she would come to a crossing, she would take a stick and throw it up in the air. And wherever it landed and pointed, that's the way she would go. Because that's the way God was sending her. And then one day, this guy watched her do this, and she stopped at a crossing. And he walked up. He said, "Why do you do that? Why do you throw a stick up in the air?" She said, "Well, God tells me the direction I should go in, and he's going to bless me that way." And the guy says, "Well, why did you throw it up three times?" And of course, the lady said, "Well, the first two times, God was sending me in the wrong direction." We surrender our will to his. It's not what we want, it's what he wants. We don't pray to get our will done in heaven. We pray to get God's will done on earth. And specifically in our lives. So the first, when you're examining yourself and you're saying my prayers aren't being answered, first question is, am I being selfish? Am I asking for things that I want and not being obedient to God's will? We must trust God before he answers and however he answers. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. In other words, you're in the will of God. You have surrendered. Jesus is in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. His will, not ours. Have you ever been in money problems, financial, and you say, God, please. Maybe you say, God, please let me win the lottery. Like that now retired 20-year-old who just won $220 million. God, please let me win the lottery. A little selfish request there. And God says, but you know, I know you have needs. I know you have financial needs. Tell you what, I'm going to give you the opportunity for a second job. Now, were your prayers answered? Yeah, absolutely. You're going to have more money. Were they answered the way you wanted them to? No way. You know, you wanted that lottery thing. His will, not ours. And he's going to meet our needs regardless. Here's another prayer enemy, another way to examine yourself. And that is unconfessed sin. Unrepentant, habitual sin frustrates our prayers. The Bible is very clear. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Now, it's not the fact that we have sinned that keeps God from answering our prayers, that hinders our prayers, because we've all sinned. We're all sinners. God listens to the prayers of believers who are sinners. But what I'm talking about is unrepentant, unconfessed, habitual sin. That becomes the barrier. When we cling to a certain sin, refusing to rid it from our lives, our prayers can become weak and ineffective. Habitual sin puts a ceiling on our prayers, like they hit the roof and come back down. And if God isn't answering your prayers, here's one question to ask yourself. Is there anything in my life right now that has a hold on me that I can't or I won't let go, even though I know it displeases God? And if the answer to that is yes, then you must realize that this unrepentant habitual sin is frustrating your prayers. The greatest prayer warriors I know are people with a keen awareness of their own sin. They don't look down on other people because of what they've done, because they realize they have sinned just as much. And they excel in repentance and they excel in confession to God. And when you change your life, when you repent, when you say, okay, no more, whatever this sin is, it's gone. I've got to get it out of my life. When you make that change in your life, these obstructions to your prayers can be removed. All right, let me tell you a third prayer enemy that Satan uses to destroy our prayer life, and that is a lack of faith. Doubt is one of Satan's deadliest weapons. When we go through trials, when we go through hardships in life, we're tempted to doubt that God answers prayer because we don't see any evidence of it. And even if we believe that God answers prayer in general, we think he's not answering my prayers. He's upset with me. And just as it is impossible to please God without faith, it is also impossible to pray effectively without faith. Look what James wrote. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Praying in faith is the absolute confidence God is in charge and that nothing is impossible with him. It is the assurance that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Faith is really an issue of trust. People are reluctant to put their full trust in God for some reason. And yet every day they trust people without question, displaying a faith that God would love to receive. I mean, think about this. People go to doctors for sicknesses they can't pronounce. They receive a prescription they can't read. They take it to a pharmacist they've never met. They buy a medicine they don't understand. And then they take it, trusting that everybody's on board with this and it's all going to be fine. Why is it so much easier to trust these unknowns than to trust a God who is totally faithful and totally loving in every way? Well, the answer lies in where we put our trust. Anyone or anything other than God is sure to disappoint you at some point in time. People, even those who love you the most, they will let you down sometimes. Money, possessions, sometimes it's just not there. Sometimes it will not buy what we think we need. They're temporary. But even the smallest amount of faith in God, trust in God, can move mountains. Finally, here's one more. An unforgiving spirit interferes with your prayer. God made it clear that our lack of forgiving others can affect how he forgives us. Jesus said, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. He taught his disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts, or depending on the translation you use, forgive us our transgressions, or forgive us our sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors, as we also have forgiven. That's in the past. We've already made forgiveness with others. Now we ask God for his forgiveness. Prayer and forgiveness are inseparable. People hurt you. What do? People are unkind to you. What do? You have troubles in a relationship at work, troubles in your marriage, troubles with your kids or your parents. What do? Well, we know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to forgive. But so often we hold on to that resentment, and we hold on to our bitterness, and we hold on to our anger. And all of that affects our prayer life. Because these are thoughts and acts of disobedience. Forgiveness is commanded. It's a process, and sometimes it takes a little time. But to say the words and to treat someone as if they are forgiven opens ourselves up to talking with our forgiving Father. Okay, there are other strategies Satan uses, but these are the four biggest that we need to evaluate our life. When you think your prayers aren't being answered, evaluate your own life. See if there's any barrier there that Satan is tempting you to use to keep your prayers from being answered. See, Satan still fears God's people talking to the Heavenly Father. And I would say keep that fear alive by praying every day. Pray continually. Just in your heart and your thoughts. When something good happens, thank you, God. When you hear of some prayer request, make it right then and there. Know that God always answers prayer. But we must remember God's ways are not our ways. And I'll just close by talking about Job for just a moment. Job challenged, if you recall, God's fairness and His justice. And he asked why so many bad things were happening to him. He lived a righteous life. He was a good guy. So why were all these bad things happening? And God finally responded towards the end of the book. He said, Job, where were you when I created the world? Can you tell me how a baby is formed in a woman's womb? Can you tell me, can you summon lightning to appear in the sky? And you read this and you realize God didn't give any clear answers to Job as to why he was hurting. He just reminded Job, I'm God and you're not. And I'm doing what is best. You need to trust me. You don't know what else is going on around you or in the spiritual world. Trust me. And all things will work out in the end. Christian author J. Vernon McGee once said, God designed and directs the universe. We're here at His disposal. He owes us nothing. And then he added, frankly, if you don't like the way God is running things, go off and start your own universe. Now, the Lord isn't that harsh. But He gives us ample evidence that He loves us. He came down from heaven and He suffered and He died on the cross for our sins. And then He displayed His power by rising from the dead. So we have very good reason to believe that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Even when we can't see it, even when we begin to doubt, God works for the good of those who love Him. And God blessed Job at the end of his life with twice as many blessings as he had at the beginning. See, God doesn't promise all our prayers are going to be answered just the way we want them to. Just the way we express them. He does promise that He will hear our prayers. And in the end, all will be made right. In the meantime, you may not understand. You may never have everything explained to you. But trust and wait on God. We're going to close our service with a song right now. And we're going to have prayer warriors up front. And they're going to be here for you. And during this song, if you want to come forward and let them pray for you, they will. They would love to do that. On God's behalf, they would love to pray for you. Maybe it's to pray for a family member or a friend or someone who is hurting. And maybe you want to lift them up. But again, you just don't know the right words to say. Or maybe you just want more people praying. They're up here for you. Let this be a special time of prayer. During the song, just make your way to the front. This is what family does. We share our burdens with each other through prayer. Would you stand, please?